love without hate. It ain't no peace without war. It ain't no madness without the sadness. So tell me where's the love leads to happiness.
In the wounds and evil, my lively technicality, but still be based upon reality. See, they united, still a revolutionary war. Corruption, Franklin Ave, will it rain through your staff? I'm a sign of a rival of the nation with frustration. A case in the belly of the beast, my staff in prison. A daily penitentiary, witness and tragedy. Snakes think they had to the murder rate and heartache. Death's off, bodies collide with the sidewalk. The younger trifle. Soon we're living like a cycle. Visions of heaven and hell. Seen through the eyes of our disciples.
My arrival to this planet, I was entitled to. Physically stranded, mentally free now. See the sound I travel, unravel. Will you babble? My head is the castle, mind is the king. Force be the words when I swing attack you. Like a guillotine that traps you. Pass through the heavenly atmosphere where I stare at those who fear the truth. That interfere with lies. Our black nation must rise worldwide like the third eye. I'll be the law breaker, like the death maker, heaven raiser, traitor, eliminator, wicked disintegrator, lyrical earthquaker. Absorb me, shining light is mandatory. I got knowledge of myself, explanatory. Of course, we be the sons of man, deeper than quicksand, expand like gases on the masses of our land.
KLN 88.1 FM, licensed by the Canadian Radio Television and Telecommunications Commission to broadcast in stereo at 88.1 MHz on the FM band. CKLN is owned and operated by CKLN Radio Incorporated, which is located at Ryerson University within the Student Campus Center in Toronto, Canada.
At the time of license application, CKLN filed a comprehensive promise of performance with the Commission, and within that document made specific commitments to its operations and programming. The license issued by the CRTC requires CKLN to honor these commitments made in the promise of performance and to comply with the FM radio broadcasting regulations.
A copy of the license with the promise of performance and conditions of licensing is available for inspection by any member of the public at the offices of the Commission and at the offices of CKLN during business hours. Radio frequencies are public property in Canada. CKLN invites your comments and inquiries.
Our mailing address is 55 Gould Street, Toronto, Ontario, postal code M5B1E9, phone number 416-979-5251.
Thank you for tuning in to CKLN 88.1 FM, and good morning.
send me all over. In the vest on my chest, I try not to say nothing. The DA might want playing court. Put a 100 duck nigga down like it's a sport. Put on me, I'll cut your gun, bust your buck. Do you getting money? I can't get nothing with you, then fuck you. I'm not the type to get knocked for DWI. I'm the type that can you connect when the coke price high. Gangsters, they bump my shit. Them, they know me. I grew up around some niggas, it's not my homies. Honey, G's, I stashed it. The Mac, I blasted. D's come, we dump the diesel and battery acid. This flow's been massive. The ice, I flashed it. Took me, I had your mama picking out your casket, bastard. I'm on the next level, right link, forget bezel. Been pedal to the metal, hotter than the tea kettle, blood. What? What up, cuz? What? What up, blood? What? What up, gangsta? What up, blood? What? What up, cuz? What up, blood? What up, gangsta? We don't play that. We don't play that. We don't play that. We don't play that.
I sit back with the best bud, burning wonder when gangsters bump my shit. Can they hear my hunger? When the fifth kick up quick, it sound like thunder. In December, I make it block, feel like summer. The rap pretty stack of rhyme. The fiends say my dope is a nine. Every chick I fuck with is a dime. I'm like Patty LaBelle, homie, I'm on my own. Where I lay my hat, my own. I'm a rolling stone. Fuck my path, I fuck you. Thinking I won't touch you. I had your ass, who's in a wheelchair. Ain't no crutches. Industry hoes, fuckers. In the hood, they love us. Stuff a bone out your ass. Some brand new jumpers.
What up, blood? What? What up, cuz? What? What up, blood? What? What up, gangsta? What up, blood? What? What up, cuz? What? What up, blood? What? What up, gangsta? We don't play that. We don't play that. We don't play that. We don't play around. We don't play that. We don't play that. We don't play that. We don't play around.
Right, niggas think we bullshit.
And good morning, CKLN listeners. No, we're not trying to BS you here on the 21st of July, 2010. It is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, here on CKLN's Rude Awakening. Here on CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. That was 50 Cent's What Up Gangsta, the opening of the Get Rich or Die Trying album, which, you know, written by a guy coming out of poverty, fresh off a lot of memories, all hyped and excited by a new deal, and two of the biggest bodyguards in the industry, as he calls them, in Eminem and Dr. Dre. He killed that album. There's nobody in hip-hop that says Get Rich or Die Trying back in 2003. Wasn't, you know, a great album. There's almost nobody that says it anyway. And that was my joint 7 years ago. I used to prescribe that to guys for small ball syndrome. You know, dudes just complaining all the time or couldn't meet a girl or whatever. And I was just like, look, man, just play that. Don't bother me. Because I can explain everything to you. And you can get it, but you won't do anything with it. Unless you got the tools. You know, like I even, a buddy of mine, he's experienced, ran for MP, and he says to me, when I said, hey man, I want to bring you on the show for a bit. You're a smart guy, I respect you and all that. And he says, oh, I'm not that good at the radio. I'm not that good, you know. And I just said to him, dude, you know what? You're just not... You're not confident in your ability to use your intelligence and your abilities. I told them, look, when you're comfortable with being able to, quote, talk about what you know a lot about, then you let me know and we'll set something up. And I know he can. I know he can. I helped out homeboy when he ran for MP here in Toronto independently. I saw him ether the other candidates at, you know, what was the Hummingbird Center, whatever that is, Yonge and Front Street. When he got up there and Ann Ruskowski from City TV asked him, because he got a little 3-minute thing to speak in between a 2-hour debate, that's all they gave him as a Canadian Action Party independent candidate, And he was going off on the problems with, you know, the feds and what our, you know, our decision-making is. And he's running for MP. And Ann Murkowski says, hey, what do you think about local issues? And he says, you know what? This is a debate for federal member of parliament. Local issues have no place here. It's a joke. We won't be able to do anything about them. And the whole crowd started clapping. And they'd never heard anything like this before. And the rest of the two-hour debate was crap. And so, and yet my man thinks he can't come on here and drop a little science for 10 minutes. And it's nothing against him. Nothing against anybody. It is for everybody. It is for everybody. You know, because it ain't a lack of information. It ain't a lack of tactics. It ain't a lack of options. It ain't a lack of people telling us. And I know personally that if ish goes down and it gets really bad, I'm going to get blamed for the way I did it. I didn't sing it nice enough. I didn't do it this way. I don't chew anybody's food enough. And it's just, I'm not having that. And neither is Alex Jones. So a clip from yesterday's show that I'm going to take you to, just so you, just so you get an idea of where guys like us' headspace is at. Now that you don't know, if you are a regular listener Mondays to Thursdays, or if you listen in the evenings on Monday evenings when I do my interview show, but we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat, and there's a few of us yelling, "Hey, there's a hole. We need to plug this hole." And the guys that made that hole are shooting more holes, and they want to sink us, and then they want to fish our stuff out of the wreckage while leaving us to, you know, be eaten by the sharks of history. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, we ain't going out like that. This is Mr. Jones from the 19th of July, I guess a couple of days ago, breaking down his thoughts on the matter.
And also so cognizant of the fact that we can beat these people. That unknown country of true liberty and freedom is just a few hundred yards away across this chasm of apathy and weakness and societal malaise and weakness. And if we would all just come together against corruption and recognize what evil is and start taking action against it, we could build a bridge to liberty, to freedom, very, very quickly. But I can't do it alone. And it's frustrating because I see the awakening accelerating, but I also see the enemy becoming cognizant of that fact and pulling out all the stops to collapse this society into the arms of total dehumanization. You know what I'm going to do? This happens a lot. More often than I would like it to. And being as calm as I can. And I'm going to go over the news here. And then later in the hour, I'm going to get into the censorship of the Obama deception. Because the censorship of this film has now led us into other avenues that illustrate other forms of censorship and control, and just how the internet has been designed to be a system to surveil us and to track us and in the future to censor everything we do. It is a giant NSA psychological warfare tool, but it's also a psychological testing tool to gauge and control the population. And as I learn more about how the internet works, and as I learn how the enemy has been trying to suppress what we've been doing in the last few years, and they've been failing, and as we begin to go mega viral on a daily basis, not just on a monthly basis, we're seeing the enemy pull out the stops to try to block us. And to know that on the level playing field of ideas, we would already have had victory. And to know how close we are to routing these criminals, if the public knew that our enemies are not all powerful, if the public knew how weak they are, if the public knew that it's only our apathy that allows them to run rampant on us, and if you knew what I knew, if you could understand what I understand, and I try to lay this information out, but those of you that are experts in a field, you understand how complex it is and hard it is to explain to a layperson who hasn't studied your field the subtle nuances of it. It's an art form. And my understanding of this system exponentially grows by the day until I feel like the top of my head's about to blow off. We have caught Google red-handed spying on the American people and the people of the world. They are the NSA. They are the CIA on record. We told you that 6 years ago with high-level CIA officers coming on the show who retired and exposing it, like Mr. Steele. Now it's mainstream news. They just throw it in your face. They think you're just going to accept it. The head of Facebook calls you a bunch of effing suckers and idiots because you trust him. He publicly laughs at you and calls you dumb animals. I'm so sick of these arrogant filth. The only way they get away with this is our apathy and the fact that we're all jacked into the television sets and only care about issues of no significance because since we were small children, the control corporate media purposefully ruined many people's psyches and their roadmaps for understanding human civilization and history. I listen to grown men, how they're into being mindless idiots and how they're into just making endless jokes and laughing about everything. And it's like arrested development at about a fifth grade level out there. I listen to other talk radio hosts, and they're just gibbering monkeys. They have no idea how dangerous history is. They have no idea that in the siege of Leningrad, close to 500,000 people died. Just regular citizens of the city, and that more than 300,000 German soldiers died and more than 300,000 Russian soldiers. In fact, I'm going from memory. Will you pull up estimates of death from the Battle of Leningrad? What was it, 1943, 44? Enemy at the gates doesn't even scratch the surface. The cannibalism, that city living on human meat for a year. There wasn't a rat left in the city that humans hadn't tracked down. They were eating the wallpaper off the walls because they'd used flour as the adhesive to put the wallpaper up. They were eating wood. They were roasting children on spits. This movie, The Road, people kept telling me to watch it, and I don't like disturbing movies because reality is disturbing enough for me. Knowing about the cannibalism in Africa and the South Pacific still going on, studying as much history as I have, knowing that within 10 days, and these are even government studies, Pentagon studies conducted in the 50s, within 10 days, 90%+ of individuals will rape, murder, kill for food. Within 15 days, almost everyone becomes a cannibal. I've got the university studies that during the Depression, seven million people starved to death, millions more during the Dust Bowl, and that's when 90% of the public were self-sufficient and could take care of themselves. 7 million, bye-bye. If you looked at the photos of the Great Depression, families with their cars broke down trying to go out west, their children's ribs sticking out of their bodies, their little rib cages looking like concentration camp victims. That was all engineered by the very same banking families that perch on top of this country right now, getting ready to do the same thing. I watched this movie about a week and a half ago, and I've been having nightmares about it every single day. And I'm going to tell you something. I had a nightmare last night about this. And you know why I had a nightmare? Folks, nothing gives me nightmares. Horror movies, unrealistic crud. This film brings up ancestral memories in me. Those are instincts. We all have them. Of all of my ancestors that starved to death and fought and women dying in childbirth and everything else our species has gone through, crawling up and fighting the saber-toothed tigers and the cave bears and the lions and the tigers and other tribes of humans coming in and conking our ancestors on the head and dragging the men off to eat them and taking our women and children and raping the hell out of them. That's what evil people do. That's the norm, is people taking your child and running a metal rod through them and turning them on a spit to eat them. Every culture has engaged in cannibalism, even when there's plenty of food. It's an act of dominance by psychopathic control freak groups that tend to take control of societies. But those societies can never become industrialized, because only a loving, good culture can build a true system. But then the parasites always come in and take over civilizations, and then they implode. And that's what's happened to us. And you watch. This society's done. It's going down. We are a diseased, filthy, demonic country and world full of soft people who have been soft for generation after generation, myself included, and we're going down. It's a total realization. And let me tell you something. If we don't stand up and get ready and speak out, it's going to get bad. But if we don't speak out and take action, it's going to get, in many cases, as bad as it is in this film. You know what happened in Rwanda? In that UN-funded slaughter there? You can search the term UN soldiers roast child on spit. You can look at that. That's official. You can look at children they beat to death everywhere the UN goes. Who do you think? They have an army of child rapist pedophiles. That's who they are. They go and join to do that, whether it's Serbia or African countries. Watch a movie like The Road. They pulled up some World War II number. It said 450,000. I've watched a lot of documentaries and read books on it. The estimates are probably a lot higher than that. The point is cannibalism. Hell, that's one of the main meat products sold in North Korea. That's even been in Vanity Fair, that they've had reporters there to watch the stall selling human flesh.
Cyrus Jones from 1810 to 1913 made his great-grandchildren believe you could live to 103. 103 is forever when you're just a little kid. So Cyrus Jones lived forever.
Grave digger.
Grave digger.
When you dig my grave.
When you dig my grave.
Make it shallow.
Could you make it shallow? So I can feel the rain.
We are back live. We have some incredible news. I just learned this during the break. The Obama deception, as many of you know, was hacked. The main version with 6.5 million plus views. It was the number one search term Friday and Saturday. The passcode for the director channel. We don't have a director channel, but Kenneth Webb does. It's changed the channel as the handle. It was hacked, and someone went in and erased the Obama deception, and it said removed by user. And when that happens, you cannot put the video back up. If you remove a video, it's gone. And to my knowledge, because we did research on this, Google, the parent company of Yahoo, of YouTube, excuse me, has never re-enabled a video that was hacked and removed, because they've had this happen in the past to some large videos. It was put back up minutes ago. So I think Google, the parent company of YouTube, felt the power of our counter info war, where over the weekend and yesterday I said search the term Obama deception censored, and that became the number one search, the number two search Fall of the Republic, the number three search Infowars.com. We got a screenshot last night. Obama deception censored was number one, Fall of the Republic number two, InfoWars number six. But by the time I went to bed, InfoWars was number three. So we have the top three searches. And we also have the screenshots here. Jaron, if he gets a chance, can pull up those images for you of messages people got from Google when people did the search for the Obama deception saying, you're not allowed to look at this. They were blocking that search. It looks like they've removed that block as well, because they're not stupid. I was intending today to go on a full frontal assault and give you new search terms, because we can give out new search terms on air that we can make number one because of our millions of listeners taking action, that they'll have to continue to block out of their list. Because when they blocked out the Obama deception censored, InfoWars.com, when they blocked that out, They blocked it out of the complete list. It was nowhere in the top 1,000 list. They just completely removed it. And I've got Steve Watson doing a story about that right now. In fact, it just went live. The headline is Google Spies, Censors, Users. And Google has been caught spying. Google has been caught working with the NSA. Google, of course, 6 months ago, we have a link to their email they sent us, said you're not allowed to sell the Obama deception on a Google shopping cart that we had gone and purchased and signed up for through their sales system. I mean, they told us you're not allowed to show Obama in a bad light. This is not allowed. This video is not allowed. Now, people pointed out, well, wait, there's other shopping carts that are allowed to sell it on there. Yes, it was our official shopping cart. We were told specifically no Obama deception.
You are watching a master.
Yeah! Yeah!
Enough turning you to murder you. This is what the fuck I do.
This is a new world order.
Enough turning you to murder you. This is what the fuck I do.
This is a new world order.
Enough turning you to murder you. This is what the fuck I do.
This is a new world order.
Enough turning you to murder you. This is what the fuck I do.
This is a new world order.
They say money talk. Fuck money or talk war. A girl say chill, but
I want war. That's right, folks. We're back here on the 21st of July, 2010. You are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening, and that was Alex Jones talking about being censored. And they're going for the Internet. We've been talking about this for a couple of years. Internet 2 at internet2.edu is a consortium of a couple of hundred universities and corporations building the newer, faster, more restrictive and controlled Internets, where you'll have a global login. And so they'll want to know. You can't just get on anonymously. And if they don't like you, you're not logging in. That's how this works. And so here on Rude Awakening, I do want to make the point to you that this information is not, we're not comic book collectors. We're not Star Trek fans. We are privileged enough to be able to handle the knowledge of, well,
enough turning you to murder you. This is what the fuck I do.
This is a new world order.
All eyes on me. All you big
and because we can understand the new world order, all eyes are on us. And when I mean all eyes, I mean the all-seeing eye. As well as, of course, the eyes of those people in our community who know something's wrong and know that there are people agitating to deal with it. And are, you know, wondering, you know, what can we get out of this? Is this a thing? Is this, are we screwed? We kind of feel screwed. You know, there's a lot of pressure on us to ignore the fact that we feel screwed and to do our best to party on through it. Or feel like, you know, yeah, even though we all feel screwed, I'm cool enough to deal with feeling screwed. I'm cool enough to deal with that. You know, it's not a problem. Yeah, no, so what? I'm having, hey, live fast, die young. You only live once. You know, as Jones mentioned about the siege of Leningrad that the communists undertook in the early 1900s when there was a Soviet takeover of Tsarist Russia, these people will do horrible things to the people who they're conconquering. And by these people, I do mean the New World Order. The intermarried central banking families who control the issuance of credit and currency worldwide, and the same people who control the world and have for several generations now, certainly for the last 500 years, can track it a lot back through the British Empire and through the modern roundtable think tanks of the top business and political elite in most countries around the world, including Chatham House, the Royal Institute for International Affairs in London, and their satellite arms, including the Council on Foreign Relations in New York and the Council of Canadian Chief Executives here in Canada, who together, along with their counterpart in Mexico, forming a North American Union with the Security and Prosperity Partnership. You can see the official documents at spp.gov. You can go to Judicial Watch, who sued for the internal documents. You can find people like Linda McQuaig, who writes for the Toronto Star on occasion, writing a great book called Holding the Bully's Coat about this. and yet telling me in an interview that while her books are normally reviewed, and she's an absolutely lovely blonde woman, you can find this interview from a couple years ago on Google Video, even though she's an absolutely lovely blonde woman, brilliant, beautiful, and a great writer, while her books are normally reviewed, her book on the North American Union was not reviewed by any media. None of the major media, anyway. A couple of minor people took a crack at it, including myself, at least talking to her about it. And she wasn't allowed to write any columns about it for the Toronto Star or anybody else. So she can go write a column in the Toronto Star about how the war in Iraq sucks or whatever. And you know, we all know that. We don't care. But we all know that. And so got to work on the care part. And so there's a plan to destroy our sovereignty and merge us with America and Mexico behind the scenes. And this took place, it's taking place, from 2005 to 2010, where our bureaucracies, our policies are being standardized to the lowest common denominator to benefit corporations, to screw us, and to put our governments and our bureaucracies under the control of trilateral working groups staffed by corporate heads who basically dictate policy. In a nutshell, you know, these think tanks and these corporations, they get together and they kind of argue about how they want to carve up the world and cut a bunch of side deals. Then they invite a bunch of politicians and say, yo, this is what we decided. So, you know, get in there and write some legislation that reflects this. And that's why these politicians are invited to these fancy chateaus and meetings and secret SPP meetings like the one in Banff, Canada. That's another great Canadian patriot he went to, and he was just like, screw this, and he released the documents. Mel Hurtig, that's right, Mel, H-U-R-T-I-G, about 2-3 years ago, went to the meeting in Banff, Canada, and came out and said, here, this is what they gave me. They're planning on stealing all your stuff. So how do you find out more about this? Well, a couple of great films. Go to pressfortruth.ca to learn more. One is called The Nation's Deathbed, and a film directed by Steve Davies and sort of co-directed and produced by Dan Dix. And it's about the protests against the SPP in Montebello, Quebec, where cops in 40 pounds of riot gear in 40-degree weather were confronting a couple of thousand anti-globalization protesters, because it's part of globalization. They want to create large regional trading blocks worldwide, the North American Union, merging with the South American Union, merging with the European Union, merging with the Pan-Asian Union, merging with the African Union, into a United Nations-controlled world government, likely by 2012. And so there's, the usual crazy protest violence and nonsense. And there were also three police provocateurs caught there, infiltrating the protest, three giant muscle-bound Sûreté de Québec police officers, who were posing as skinny, underfed, meth-head teenage anarchists wearing masks, holding rocks, and outweighing the rest of the anarchists by about 100 pounds each. And so they were called out, caught, and they dove behind a police line, to escape the wrath of, the protesters. And so, when you're posing at protesters and you dive behind a line of riot cops for protection, your cover's blown. There's all these admissions. And that came out, CBC, 23rd of August, 2007, admitted in the mainstream media. And that's the thing about the media, is that they'll cover you. If they like you, they'll cover you. They'll try and cover you. They may even attack you. But if they're going to spend any amount of time on you, unless they really attack you, in which case it's a hit piece. But if you get some, lukewarm love from them, don't worry about it. Take it. If they show up and they say, a bunch of 9/11 truth protesters showed up today to say that Canada should end the war in Afghanistan and that the reasons behind 9/11 are this. We talked to a professor, and then they'll put on a professor in a nice, from some university they always go to for some safe comment. And that professor will say, it's good to see the passion of many Canadians in investigating the truth behind our political system. The fact is that we all know that Al-Qaeda committed those attacks, and so their efforts, while well-intentioned, are misguided. And they'll get that quote just to throw, just to show their editors that they're trying to throw, the average person off the scent and get both sides of this and make sure the official narrative is stressed if one that challenges it, it is brought up. And that's it. Say thanks. You're done. You know, you got in front of millions of people. And unless, as Jones mentioned, they rip all our information off the internet, especially the damning stuff and the viral stuff and the stuff that people like to share as opposed to just digest and find interesting. Unless that happens, then we definitely have a shot at saying to people, hey, if that piqued your interest, there's more where that came from. But I got the cover of the Metro with me here. And the Metro, today's paper here for Wednesday, July 21st, 2010. And first thing I see, it says movie premiere. And it says actress Bridget Moynihan attends the premiere of Ramona and the Beezus yesterday in New York City's Madison Square Park. And it's a very lovely redheaded Moynihan. And I'm staring at her and she's looking wistfully over her left shoulder. And her dress, although it's a crop shot, kind of halfway up her chest, and then the top of her head, is kind of showing that you know, she does cleave well, and I can't cleave it alone because I'm looking at it, and I'm like, wow, that is so sweet of you, New World Order. You know, you sent a beautiful girl to come up to me and smile and ask me for the time and say how I'm doing and say she thinks I'm cute. And I'm staring at her. And then I'm looking just to the right of that, and you're sending some goons to rabbit punch me in the back of the neck with brass knuckles. Taxpayers to pick up eco fee tab, yay! And so this is the juxtaposition. This is the not so innovative juxtaposition. But I will say, and thank you again, Toronto Metro, affiliate of the Star and the world's largest international newspaper, run out of the Netherlands, I believe. You know, and so they've got affiliates worldwide or franchises worldwide that link up with a local mainstream paper to publish a subway or transit shortened edition of the paper. I'd like to thank you for making my ass beating much more pleasant by sending a hot girl to distract me, take my mind off it. Because I could think about this eco fee thing a bit more, not just the idea that the implementation really sucks. But more than that, the idea that you know, it shouldn't even be here at all. We shouldn't be paying eco fees that just attack our consumption, that are basically there to say, you know what, we're gonna charge more for these things, so you buy those things that are more expensive. And it's like, what? And you gotta be able to make sense of these things. So it says here, province admits, quote, stumbled when it began July 1st. Change to structure came shortly after Canadian Tire stopped charging the fee. So this isn't even a real tax. If the Canadian Tire can just stop charging it, I guess maybe they're eating it and they're paying it some other way. But the bottom line is here, it says Ontario taxpayers are still on the hook for a controversial eco-fee program. The governing Liberals are scrambling to retool amid widespread public confusion and retail angst. Consumers won't be charged eco fees at the cash register, but the government will fork over up to $5 million to keep the program going for the next 3 months, Environment Minister Jedi John Gerritsen said yesterday. Because I call him Jedi because he said the eco fee is not a tax in an article I saw on the CBC. And that reminds me of the Star Wars episode where, like, Obi-Wan Kenobi in the original, you know, they're stopped, and it's him and Luke Skywalker. And the Star Wars, you know, Star Wars, basically, you know, space cowboys doing their thing. And they got a couple of androids with them, and they're stopped by some Imperial guards, and they say, what are you doing here? We need to see some ID. And Obi-Wan Kenobi says, these aren't the droids you're looking for. These aren't the droids you're looking for. And kind of hypnotizes them into thinking that these aren't the droids you're looking for, even though the guards, you know, they are the droids they're looking for. And, you know, let us go on our way. Say move along. And they say, move along. Get out of here. And so Jedi John Gerritsen, our environment minister, got to worship the minister, is telling us that these eco fees are not a tax, and yet they are a tax. They just nail businesses, and businesses go, ah, I'm having trouble paying my rent, and then they pass it on to us, and then like crabs in a bucket, we all go at each other and pull each other down by charging each other more. I even saw at a travel center yesterday, taxes of like $339 on a $320 airline flight. 100, 110% taxes on flights. This is insane. Canadian Stéphane Molyneux on the Max Kaiser Report from the 13th of July is going to talk about the state of our economy to flesh this out.
Welcome back to the Kaiser Report. Time now to go to Canada and talk with Stéphane Molyneux of Free Domain Radio. Stéphane, welcome to the Kaiser Report.
Thank you so much, Matt. It's great to be here.
Let's talk about the global financial system. You're up there in Canada, and it's an interesting pocket of economic strength because of the speculation in some of the areas of Canadian real estate. But tell us, you're in Canada. What's going on in the financial system globally and in Canada?
There's this myth floating around the G20 and the economic system that Canada has somehow avoided the subprime meltdown and other forms of financial catastrophes. This is all complete nonsense. Canadian debt stands at $3.5 trillion, or about $116,000 for every man, woman, and child living in this frozen wasteland of socialist paradise. So it's complete nonsense to assume that Canada has somehow avoided it. The Canadian government has also become the largest subprime lender in the world, and we all know what happened to every single U.S. financial institution that focused on subprime lending. They all went bankrupt. Since 2007, Canada has introduced legislation and supported the government backing of mortgage-backed securities. Over 90% of Canadian mortgages are now backed by the government, and the amount of mortgages backed by the government has gone from about $130 billion in 2007 to tracking to $500 billion by the end of this year. And the amount of assets that are in an actual home has declined from over 40% a few years ago to about 6% now. So Canada is enormously exposed in the subprime lending market. It just hasn't hit yet. And the last statistic I'll throw at you that will make you chill your britches is that at the peak of the U.S. housing prices were about five times the average national income. In Canada right now, they are over 7.4 times the average income, or almost 50% higher as the U.S. So the legislation that has changed, which has allowed zero down payment and between 35 and 40-year amortization, has invited an enormous number of people into the housing market who simply will not be able to afford it in the U.S. style the moment that interest rates go up, as they're going to have to. So the U.S. Has already gone through what Canada is going to go through. The main difference is that the U.S. backed the mortgages after the fact, whereas Canada is backing the mortgages ahead of the fact, thus reducing the moral hazard and exposing the risk of the Canadian government and the Canadian taxpayer even more.
People say that the Canadian banking system is really quite strong and it's uniquely strong in the world, but based on what you're saying here, that sounds like it's a bit of an overstatement.
Well, the banks are getting their mortgages backed by the Canadian government in these mortgage-backed securities, and so the banks are taking on all of this mortgage at very low rates, so their balance sheet looks quite healthy. Of course, the balance sheet of the Canadian government and the Canadian taxpayer goes down proportional to the amount of risky real estate loans that the Canadian banks take on, so it's all a paper sham, it's all a paper shuffle. Like in the 90s, Canada went through the supposed reduction of its government, 20% budgets, half of the science spending was cut, but it all turned out to be complete smoke and mirrors. All the government did, as is so often the case, is it borrowed from the, quote, surpluses in various social programs, thus increasing the downstream risk for these social programs. They took a dollar out of old age pensions, thus increasing the future liability. So all they're doing, as governments always do, is borrowing from the future in order to bribe the present, which is...
Well, the Fed isn't forecasting a recession yet. Plenty of other forecasters are, and no one's whispering about the R word anymore. Now, they should come right out and say it.
The probabilities of a recession have moved up.
And there's new fear of a recession.
America's already in a recession.
The U.S. economy will slip into recession this year.
They think the government has failed them.
Yeah, man!
Yeah.
Back, CKN listeners. Again, that was Canadian Stéphane Molyneux on the Max Kaiser Report. Check out Max Kaiser, and check out Stéphane Molyneux for that matter. Stéphane, M-O-L-N-Y-L-E-U-X. Not too familiar with that gentleman's work, but he made a lot of sense on the Max Kaiser Report. And Max Kaiser is a really entertaining, internationally renowned financial analyst and an honest one. So he's a rare breed, you know. He's a unicorn in the financial world, and there's a handful of them that have been breaking down the truth for a while, including Webster Griffin Tarpley, who wrote in 1999 a book called Surviving the Cataclysm about this recession that we're in right now, and he updated that book 10 years later last year, just to give people an idea of well. How this was systemic, you know. I remember during the opening, you know, throes of the recession, talking to people about it and having people just change from week to week with respect to their feelings on it, saying, "Oh, I think we're coming out of it. I think we're almost over." And then, "Oh, it could be bad," based on kind of what the media gave them to say. And we've got to start learning to trust people who aren't paid to lie to us more than people who may be even paid to lie to us. You know, you may even not want to think they are. Think they are, but you know, they're. You know, the point is that there's all this information out there that people are putting out, like myself, and the people who whose work I share, you know, who are trying to get info out. And so you got to take some of these principles out to the public. You got to be armed with how to talk about something. You don't join Cutco Knives. And they give you a bunch of knives and say, "Yeah, walk around with these, you know, try and sell them," because you're just a dude walking around with knives. You're gonna scare the crap out of people. But there is a way for you to sell Cutco knives, and there is a way for you to sell truth in a world full of lies. And I know I just wrote down 31 ideas yesterday, chilling at a Starbucks in the annex, because I was just in I was in one of those moods where I was like, you know what? I wrote down 16 ideas for what we could do before the G20 to make sure that they didn't mess up Toronto like they messed up Pittsburgh. And I'm gonna write down 31 things we can do to make sure that doesn't happen again or worse. But, you know, whatever. I don't have time to break them down now. I would like to have the time to break down or have Webster Tarpley on the Guns and Butter radio show with Bonnie Faulkner from the 7th of July. Break down a bit of how we just have to change policies to get out of the depression.
Is there anything else? Is there anything you'd like to add?
I just I hope people will take an activist approach to the crisis that we're going into. The failure to pass the Stimulus 3 is indeed a watershed. It shows that the tremendous potential of 2007-2008 has been aborted, as I feared it would, but life will go on. The crisis will get worse, and rather than drop out because Obama turned out to be what he obviously was, a Wall Street operative, it's time to become active and think of ways that political process can still be used to avoid the worst and to promote an economic recovery, since we do know how to do this. There's no mystery about how to get out of a depression. You change your policies, you get out. If you don't change your policies, you don't get out. There will be a phase now where the reactionaries get the upper hand, right? We're dealing with Wall Street Democrats and reactionary Republicans. The Wall Street Democrats are now in decline. The reactionary Republicans are in the ascendancy. But we need a third way, because that's no choice for America between those two groups.
Webster Tarpley, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Motherfucking business here. Yeah, all you hating ass niggas want you sneak this, nigga.
Sneak this,
that shit ain't gonna get you on, it's gonna get you hurt, nigga.
All of you
If you a hater and you know it, fuck you. Y'all none rapping ass bitches. I'd rather listen to your instrumentals, nigga. Bitch ass nigga. Do something, nigga. CT. I'm here now. You old news.
And we're back, CKL and listeners. Apologize for swearing. I'm going to throw a little disclaimer on at the beginning of the show. Between 6 and 7, but I did see at Dundas Square, you know, a performer being way more foul than I am, in front of children that he knew were there. A gentleman from New Orleans, whose performance I thought was obscene, in the sense that there was, you know, a few hundred people at Dundas Square, not that many, a few hundred people, 200-300 people, and it was an absolutely obscene performance there in front of small children. And I talked to the promoter after one especially horrible track and performance, and I said to him, "Dude, can you ask that guy to you know, tone it down, please? His kid's here." And I was nice about it, and he was nice about it, and he said, "Yeah, it is a little much." But then the next song that came on was even worse. And I was like, "Ah." So I videotaped some of it, took some of the footage over to the local cop shop, police station. At Dundas and University 52 Division, I think. I spoke to a nice officer there. It looked a bit like Ty Domi, only bigger. That's kind of scary, you know, but good to have him around in case any criminals act up and want to fight on the ice. And anyway, good guy. And so he reviewed it, and he basically said, "Yeah, you know, there's nothing against swearing, you know, even in public, like people do." And I'm like, "Yeah, this is kind of a sustained thing, a performance. Public square, and you know," but he just said that, yeah, the obscenity laws like that don't apply as much anymore, and so there's nothing really criminal here. I just thanked him for his time because I wanted to, you know, investigate my options to stop this crap from happening in my city to people just sort of innocently wandering around trying to enjoy themselves, stumbling upon Dundas Square. Oh, let's go check out what, the heart of the city has to offer is family-friendly entertainment. On a Sunday afternoon at the North by Northeast Music Fest. Now, the Skull Bunny logo should have been your first clue. It's like, all right, they're selling death. Now, they're selling it cute, but they're selling death. And that maybe that should have been my first clue as to what these people are about. And other than it's North by Northeast, I've been there. I went there a few years ago. I investigate all the music stuff. I got a little jaded just because I saw how many artists were trying to get put on and how scared they were of the truth and how they wanted to be so real and seen as authentic, and yet they were scared to learn anything that might jeopardize their commercial prospects. And so, and I can't mess up nobody's dream like that, so I kind of dipped out. But now I'm coming for you. I can see how they're trying to normalize the Illuminati. I can see how Jay-Z and Rick Ross, the new song Freemason, off the rapper Rick Ross's new album. And the first half of it, Rick Ross talks like he is a Mason. Second half, Jay-Z says he wasn't, in clever ways. I didn't say that I'm a Mason. I said that I'm amazing. Well, okay, that's what you said, but, you know, you didn't actually come out with a full disclaimer. And there's other evidence out there in his music videos and his Do What Thou Wilt shirt. And then you talk to hip-hop cats today, and you're like, "Ah, man, you heard of the Illuminati?" And they're like, "Oh, yeah, of course." You know, because now that it's been all over the websites and the blogs and the this and the mags and the internet and yada, 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 you know, then you can't just, you know, you can't say you haven't heard of it, because then you're a loser. So you've heard of it. So you're aware that there is this possible, you know, power cabal elites, you know, Illuminati, as it were, you know, and that's it. And that's good enough. And I pointed out to a couple of these cats, I was like, "All right, so you're getting used to it, you know?" And they're like, "Yeah, you know, I mean, hey, you know, it is what it is, right? That's the way the world works." And so some of these dudes might work for them. And I just tell them, you can't get, some dudes are just scared out of their minds by this stuff. It's sad. But, you know, if you are, you are. It's not my place to, you know, make you watch Saw 4, or you can't make me watch Saw 4 or Saw 5. Or any of that other torture porn, and I can't make you watch, you know, reality where we're all being, you know, tortured by our culture. But I did point out to a couple open-minded dudes that, what if these Illuminati cats, and really, you know, if you look into it, it's central bankers, it's big corporations, it's politicians, it's secrets. There are networks, it's giant foundations that rich people put their money into to try and control us. and create faketivism that kind of creates faketivist, CIA activist white noise out there. And so, you know, if I say to people, hey, you want to share these alternative cancer cures, or you want to share the risks of vaccines or fluoride or aspartame, you know, you know at least one of those is bad for us. You'll be like, no, I'm too busy spending the next 6 months to train to run a 10K for cancer. And, yeah, I'm running for cancer. Well, you are running for cancer. You're running for more cancer. Because the drugs that Big Pharmacide gives us and treatments like chemotherapy, banned in most of Europe, and even discouraged in many parts of Canada. You walk to one hospital and say, don't try that ish. Walk to another hospital and say, we make money off that ish. And so it's just nuts. And this is semi-apocryphal evidence, if you prefer, without me going into more detail, from people I know who've been cancer-ridden in our system. Because big banks and big drug companies are trying to fool you. And big foundations are trying to fool you. And if you work there, if your job is to kill us, then fine. You know, I understand that. It's a rough economy, and there's lots of people whose job it is to kill us in subtle ways. So no problem. On the side, share a little bit of the truth. Get some good karma, you know, and try and figure out, you know, how you can do something good while you figure out, you know, where you're at, you know, how to continue doing what you're at so you can get paid and pay off whatever lifestyle and bills you have to pay for. And then, you know, work together, you know, with other people to change the culture you're in. That is also why I can't ask women to try and fight with people who are trying to rob us. You know, if people are trying to rob us, I can't say, girls, get in there, throw them bows. You know, I can't do that. And if these people are trying to kill us, well, then I really can't ask women to fight with these people. If some of them hear about the fight and they want to, then fine, by all means. But you know, if a lot of you just think I'm cute and silly, I'll take it, because if that's what you think and that's what you want to think, and I can fit that description, I'll take it, just so that you can. And that's not a problem. I was enjoying a pleasant eve with my buddy the other day, and before that I was lamenting at a Starbucks that, why I gotta know everything you're gonna say to me? Why you gotta know everything I'm gonna say to you? Why we gotta be separated in social circles by these little little pockets of information and trivia that we accumulate, and selected streams of media that we consume, to the point where, you know, you say, oh, did you see the new Twilight? Yeah, did you? Yeah. Did you like so-and-so's blah, blah, blah? Yeah, did you? Yeah. You know, like, why can't we share something new? Why can't we share something real? Why can't we share something good? I don't know. Well, you know, I have an idea. But, and that's the point. We got to be compassionate about this. And I got to be more compassionate. I just know that after years of this and people telling me, you know, you got to chill out. You got to give them a break. You can't. You can't ride him, you can't push him. There's definitely, you know, room for that. And I go out like Coach Doug Collins, he was a great coach in the NBA, just, you know, people just tune him out after a while, as opposed to the Phil Jackson Zen Master, you know, kind of programming of people like that. But I know that when it comes to this stuff, you know, treating people like children only turns them into children. And if men have trouble handling this, then believe me, children will and or do. And so you know, it's the type of thing where it's just got to be like, all right, look, you know, we're gonna figure this out, you know, have no fear, we're gonna figure this out. But all right, so back to El Nuzo here, because this is a playoff push. TFC starts second half in a postseason position. California Dreaming, the best way to spend a day in San Francisco, all on the cover of the Metro. Why do you need to? Why does the average subway rider in Toronto need to know the best way to spend a day in San Francisco? Why is that on the cover? This is the problem with the white noise out there, the stuff that gets in the way of the truth. And one of the problems is that not enough people are trying to share it. So that's why I got to go off, and that's why. And you can't stop me. You can take my show. You can take my whatever. You can cut out my tongue. But I already put a whole bunch of stuff out there, And all those actions will, you know, only increase the value of that. So it's over when it comes to this message that I've consistently stressed for a while now, because I've also seen the results. I've seen what my colleagues at TorontoTruthSeekers.com and I accomplished last summer, where we took the center of the city, where we took the southwest corner of Yonge and Dundas at Dundas Square, and we held it and are still in the process of holding it for like a year with a table and Truth Brella and tons of people in the city knowing we're there and knowing what we're on about and being, by and large, cool with it, you know, or cool enough with themselves to not care and say, fine, you know, I'm aware that, you know, you people think you've found something important that you want to share with people. What am I going to do? Try and stop that? So, bail denied for G20 arrestee here. A man facing explosive and weapons charges. Part of the G20 security investigative litigation was denied bail yesterday. Byron's son was arrested just days before world leaders descended on Toronto for the G20 summit. The 37-year-old internet security expert faces charges of possession of explosives, dangerous weapons, intimidation of a justice system participant, and mischief. The evidence presented in court and the reasons behind yesterday's decision are under publication ban. All right, so we can't even write about it, and denied bail. So if you're arrested and there's a publication ban surrounding the events of your arrest and the details, and then you're denied bail, you might live in Canada. Now, that's the point. And this is here on page 3 of the Metro, after an ad on the inside cover saying, how can you save $1,500 extra a year in pretty funky Crayola colors courtesy of Scotiabank, where they're saying, let the savings begin, let the savings begin. Never encouraged you to before, it was all about investment. But now, with very crappy interest rates, they want you to start saving again. Because they're trying to get cash back into the banks while it's still worth something. While inflation is destroying the value of our dollars, these guys are smart. They're going to try and get you to give them, you know, throw them in their bank so they can invest them in higher yield earnings, so they can make purchases and attempt consolidations where they buy each other and secure themselves for the deepening depression. And so they just change. You know, once in a while, it's the advertisements, come on in and invest and gamble your money yourself. And so the stock market, you know, gets a bit more of that. And once in a while, it's come on in and save. You don't want to invest anymore, so put your money in here. We'll guarantee you the best returns. And you always got to figure, you know, what do they get out of this? And what are they taking from us? Public sector unions balk at wage freeze. Freeze on non-unionized provincial workers could reduce costs by $750 million. Unions want exemption for those making less than $35,000. And so the public sector unions in Ontario are balking at the idea of a two-year wage freeze as long as the province is giving corporations a $4.5 billion tax cut. Oh, yeah, and as long as they're buying $6 billion worth of jet fighters for this country. I know we saw Top Gun back in the day, and I know we think, you know, Army toys are cool and stuff from the video games and all that crap. But come on. Come on. You know, this is a little too crazy here. This is just getting a little crazy. But you know, we can tell our bureaucracy is feeling threatened. They're laying off cops all over the U.S., and good cops and good sheriffs are going out and telling people, go and get yourself guns. We've got a list of 47 things that we are not going to be able to respond to, including poisonings, burglaries, you know, attempted murder. Maybe we'll still show up if the cop's not already busy with something. But there's, you know, there's two cops to jurisdictions of 20,000 people in certain places. So the sheriffs are like, go get a gun. Get yourself a gun. And you can go to CanadianShootingSports.org. I interviewed Tony Bernardo, a fellow Torontonian, former Toronto Star-raised liberal like myself, realized the problems with the social engineering model that comes with sort of liberalism and the faith in government institutions, non-governmental organizations, and traditional activism to get the people improving conditions, and more of a faith in individual rights, individual liberties, and the idea of staking your claim in this world by making sure you can defend it with a gun if you need to. And that's what it is. It's all about self-defense. And you know, No matter how smooth like a G.I. Joe the New World Order tries to make us by, you know, going at our testicular fortitude, by, you know, attacking us with xenoestrogen leaked from plastic water bottles that feminizes us and does bad things to women too by hyperfeminizing them and causing them health problems, including cancer from too much estrogen. But that the xenoestrogen that feminizes men and reduces our ability to fight back and to feel appropriately and productively angry about all the crap that's being done to us. And the soy that does the same thing, also leaking xenoestrogen. No matter how much they try and do that to us, and no matter how much they culturally try and brainwash us into thinking, you know, that we should all be lovey-dovey here in the new age, and that maybe in 2012 we're all going to get raptured, and maybe the conscious movement, which is the most unconscious garbage in the world, getting you to fantasize about pretty light shows that'll take you away for an eternal trip through space in a couple of years. No matter how much they sell us that new age mumbo jumbo garbage, and the happy happy joy joy keep it happy crap, never ever 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 take violence for self defense as an option off your table of options, because that's one of the plans. And you saw what happened to the Jews in World War II, and the Armenians and the Armenian genocide, and the Russians and the Russian genocide, and the Chinese and the Chinese genocide, and a bunch of people just told by the state, yeah, you know, get on the train, and everything will be fine. And you knew it wouldn't. There was enough signs that it wouldn't. Not if you just kept doing what you were doing anyway, because while you were doing what you're doing, things were getting worse. So, never, ever, 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 ever take away all your options, including the first option, which is the info war. You can actually use the information to attack the system. You can bounce these things off the system. Instead of a bunch of politicians telling you, you know, go over there, chant a bunch of old communist slogans, and go home, and magically we'll listen to you. Why don't you just call the bastards? Email them. Get together a group of your friends and say, hey, 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 all of us think this information is important, and you work for us. So you got to look at it. And if you don't look at it, we're going to tell the other people you work for, what you didn't do, and we're going to fire you. Straight Trump style. You fired. And we can do that. It's an election year, you know. And I'm the only reason that I haven't launched yet is this the end of my 3-week social experiment and my own mayoral campaign hopes and all this crap. But there aren't enough people that want to do something with this information. And so I got to make sure that I prove that the culture's ready for it, and that the culture's screwed if it doesn't deal with it. And I've done that a million times, and I do it again recently, because, you know, you're only as good as your last YouTube video, kid. And so fine. Fine. I'll make one a day. And whatever, man. Whatever. Whatever. You know, it's a non-issue. But here at 5 after 7 on Wednesday, the 21st of July, 2010, you are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening here on 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM, and Rogers Cable Box 947. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., and also Monday evenings from 7 to 8 p.m., where Monday evenings for CKLN's Word of Mouth Mondays, I usually host an interview show where I interview a top expert in a given field. I give them time to flesh out who they are so we can relate and appreciate, as well as what they know so we can utilize it to inform other people, protect ourselves, and attack the system. And say, look, we know what's going on. And we're going to tell you. And we're going to make it easier for you people inside to speak up, because you know there are people inside. We're going to talk to shadow government. I did this years ago in my giant e-blast to 7,000 people, and people really liked it. They're like, wow, you're really talking to them, aren't you? And I'm like, yeah, I'm really talking to them. I'm talking to them, and I'm telling them I know how you work. And I know, you know, how we can work on you, and how we can work together, and there's all these options. So what's it going to be? But, you know, there was a giant AIDS conference recently, so before some jazz, I'm going to find some. I'm going to give you Joan Shendon on Russia Today, Russian television station, and RT America on, you know, the people who question the official doctrine behind AIDS and the HIV virus. Because there's a whole conference of them that say the virus was never isolated and purified through normal scientific processes. It's never been found. It doesn't exist. And it's the toxic drugs that kill people. And that's a conclusion I came to about 3 years ago and haven't wavered from since. The government didn't create it, because if they did, we could find it. So that conspiracy theory is crap, and it's just meant to, you know, blur the lines and keep the big pharmacide scam going, which is currently depopulating Africa, and based on their stepped-up efforts to get us all tested and worried about it here, after hypersexualizing our culture, AIDS drugs are ready to depopulate us, too. So scientist Joan Shendon, we'll be joining her on Russia Today from the 18th of July, 2010, just before the big AIDS conference this weekend, where there was an alternative conference being held with a bunch of scientists and doctors fleshing out and co-signing this theory.
Has shed light on all the major issues that challenge HIV as the cause of AIDS and AIDS as a sexually transmitted disease.
Well, Joan, the question that I wanted to ask you is that if you're rejecting conventional methods of treatment, which you say are still strong, what sort of alternative forms does your foundation have an offer?
Well, conventional treatment has actually caused the death of a whole generation of young gay men in America when they were on the high doses of AZT. That is well documented. Not one single young man or woman, and there were a few women, who took the high doses of AZT has survived. Many, many others have survived who haven't taken the antivirals, and many have survived who have taken antivirals at times to damp down what it essentially is an immune suppression for many, many different reasons. So it's extremely important to be challenging this hypothesis, which, of course, is tied up with hundreds and billions of thousands of dollars of international money, which have led to absolutely no result.
Well, Joan, do we have reasons to believe that alternative methods are more effective than the current mainstream ones?
Look, AIDS, as it's called, has remained restricted to the high-risk groups. It hasn't spread as a heterosexually spread disease at all. It hasn't behaved like an infectious disease. So what we have to do is actually change our lifestyle, and that you could say that's alternative. Look after your health, not indulge in huge high-risk activity, which is happening now. So people are looking after themselves more, who were in the very fast-track life, with multiple sexual partners and multiple sexually transmitted diseases. And then, if you look after yourself enough, you will get better. And that is my experience. And I've been watching young people who tested positive many years ago. In fact, we did a test ourselves. We tested 35 blood samples through the University of Surrey. We put 35 samples through three different test kits. And two of the test kits showed reasonably similar results. The third test kit showed 19 people who were in the sort of no man's land area, right? So there were 19 anomalies there. And one of the young people tested negative twice when we took him to two London teaching hospitals. But he had tested positive three times on our blinded trial. So the HIV test is an absolute crime. People really, I mean, when you think that the HIV test, you can test positive for HIV if you have 67 conditions in orthodox medicine. They accept that there are 67 conditions that make you test positive for HIV or can. TB, syphilis, malaria, invasive mycosis.
Okay, the question that I want to ask you now, I'm afraid I don't have to interrupt you, is that why is it that your theory didn't catch on?
Well, it has caught on, if you think. Rethinking AIDS in America has 1,000 members. We have a Nobel laureate who supports us. We have at least 500 leading molecular scientists around the world who support the alternative view and challenge the infectious hypothesis. Basically, it's very difficult to challenge a major orthodoxy these days because the media is so powerful. The drug industry is more powerful than government. So what you have is a situation where we're David and Goliath, but we're going to get there in the end because by persevering, the truth will come out.
Okay. Joan Shenton, thanks very much indeed for sharing your views with us. That was founder of the Immunity Resource Foundation talking to us from Vienna, where the HIV/AIDS conference starts today.
Back, CKLN listeners. Again, that was Joan Shenton from Russia Today, and the cute Russia Today reporter just didn't know what to think. She, with her cute little half-Russian, half-American accent to try and change her Russian accent for American audience, makes her sound a little bit like a computer. And so it's just, you just got to see her face where she's just like, what? Because it's the most incredible thing. And I interviewed David Crowe, C-R-O-W-E, so you can Google Black Christian and David Crowe. I interviewed the late Christine Maggiore, M-A-G-G-I-O-R-E, and Robin Scoville, her husband, about this in a great interview. I just called them up one day, and they just, you know, we talked about it for 45 minutes. And she said that people who work in positions where they have to analyze information, like cops, lawyers, and so on, they get it right away. The whole AIDS scam, how it was sold. You know, like if you were to create the AIDS scam, this is what you'd do. And so, you know, they get it. You know, people in the medical industry, a lot of people with a faith in or a need to have a faith in the industry, you know, tend to shy away from. But they shy away from vaccines. You know, they shy away even after drugs that were certified by medical journals were later found to kill people. Like Vioxx, the arthritis drug that caused heart attacks, the process is still trusted by everybody, well, you know, by people, by too many people, put it that way. You know, where the same institutions that do this are still trusted. And so, you know, we can't put our faith in these big institutions. A lot of times, you know, people have, you know, faith in big institutions, but, you know, they've been proven really corrupt, so we just, you know, you can't put all your faith in them. You know, you got to put your faith in regular human beings, particularly on your block. Imagine every time there was a wave of propaganda, a few people in each hood, you know, put out a little direct mailer, put out some flyers, put out some posters, you know, to counteract that. Imagine every time, you know, at Bloor Station, at Young and Bloor, you know, there was some crazy propaganda display just blanketing the insides of the subway station so that thousands of people a day were bombarded by it as they passed through. Imagine if you in your neighborhood, you know, you could just put out a little piece of paper or something that says, yo, here's some brief thoughts on it, and check this website for, you know, more details and annotations and links. Then on a regular basis, people could learn to trust, you know, your information stream. You know, so it's not just random, it's not just I kind of feel like doing something just to alleviate some guilt, but it's actually tactical. It's actually tactical, and it's practical, and it's helpful, and it's rewarding, and you feel yourself, you can burn DVDs, and DVDs are the best thing to wake people up, you know, but to keep yourself engaged in the process, it helps to have some of your creativity on the line, some of your wit and wisdom in interpreting what's going on and attacking it. Because believe me, no matter what you tell people, if they pay attention to the mainstream media, it'll be better than what they're getting. Smokey says, only you can prevent political fires, says Grits. Government source said investigation doesn't involve political staff. No charges laid by OPP yet on this. And in essence, this is part of the military, federal, you know, takeover of our government. I don't think Obama's running the U.S. I think Northcom is. And I don't think those people respect him. I think they know he was born in Kenya. I think they know he's illegally president. And I think that this is, you know, that he was put in by the people, you know, who managed this whole process to allow Northcom to take over and to allow, you know, generals to make sure their soldiers were more loyal to them than they were to the president, the alleged commander in chief. But whatever, it's 7:15 this morning. I'm not sure what's happening here on Wednesdays anymore. I do know that UCKLN listeners out there are used to jazz, you know, being broadcast from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. So I'm going to arrange that for you, courtesy of jazz24.org. You know, a couple more things here from the paper. Sex abuse victims get $2 million worth of help. Ontario men and boys who are victims of sexual abuse will soon be able to get coordinated help, support, and counseling. Counseling, that's right. More sex abuse, more counseling. More sex abuse, more counseling. You know, we got to strike at the root of this, because I don't think anybody wants to just have a bunch of kids abused in councils as sort of, you know, the normal thing that goes on in Canada. So we can stop the satanic pedophile cults that run the world and their manifestations by exposing them and by exposing the truth. Why riding the rocket may hurt your eardrums. Summer heat wave causing subway brakes to screech. TDC points finger at sweaty equipment. Great. And you can't avoid it because you got to take the TDC and subway. And so now this is just stressing you a bit more. Each of these things taking a few seconds off you. Each of these articles is taking a few seconds off your life with the stress it's causing you. So, you know, let's figure out what we can do to share info that's not this, that's better. As I flip to page 8, IED kills Canadian soldier. I'm looking at baby-faced Brian Collier, 24-year-old killed by an improvised explosive device. Staring at the picture, you can catch us on page 8 of the Metro yourself today in his little nifty Canadian beret with the Queen's crown on it and combat fatigues, looking kind of blank and sad. You know, we got the yellow ribbon crap that's being, you know, pasted all over our government vehicles. Absolutely disgusting. Let's support the truth about that. Let's support 9/11 truth. Let's support global warming and climate change truth. Let's support the truth about our relationships and how they're based on divide and conquer strategies. Let's support the truth about our socialization and how we're not supposed to play all the time and try and keep it happy as things crumble around us, as we stand in the temple of commerce. Look at the BP allowed to keep cap on oil well, despite the fact that there are leaks exploding from the pressure that's just causing the oil spill to worsen. And yet the Obama administration's point man for the spill, retired Coast Guard Admiral Thad Allen, said the company's just watching closely for signs of new leaks, which may indicate they want them. Afghanistan will be ready, says Karzai. And Hamid Karzai, the puppet president, meeting with Hillary Clinton there to sell more of this BS. They have women there, and they're saying they're doing this for women. But believe me, when they're flooding the country with depleted uranium weapons, and depleted uranium is horribly toxic, lasts for billions of years, and it's blown all over the world because these are tiny little particles. And so when they're flooding Afghanistan by blasting things with depleted uranium weapons, and they're causing radioactive results, and those results are causing deformed babies, you know, massive increase in deformities in Iraq and Afghanistan and other places, even in Europe, from depleted uranium. Just Google depleted uranium. Have fun. Watch some stuff on it. You can see this. It's absolutely disgusting. When women are carrying children to term for 9 months and coming out with, you know, what I hate to say, look like misshapen monsters as a result of Western involvement in liberating their countries. These people, our governments, are not doing this for women. Don't let them fool you. And they're not doing anything for us. So don't let them fool you. And in fact, screw you. Since you're strong enough to not let them fool you, why don't you not let them fool anybody else?
Change.
But you know what? I'm out of here, folks. I got some Jazz 24 on for you. I like to get a little liberal with it.
And so on Wednesdays, when I don't see another host here yet, and so I do, and hopefully, you know, you forgive my my excesses, because I ain't mad at you. I ain't mad at you. That's the thing. We got to be careful about this. Taking one's anger out in the public, and I'm taking a task for this. I'm just trying to motivate conspiracy theorists, basically. But everyone else, I just feel sorry for, and I don't take my anger out in the public. I try and take my anger out on the people that are messing with the public, and as far as I can tell, the public appreciates that. It has nothing to do with me. I'm not trying to be a truther star in this game. You know, I might grill you just to finish a thought. It's not about me. You know, I'm not looking for love. I'm not looking for money. I'm not looking for nothing. I'm looking for a way to help us get out of this mess. And hopefully you are too. And great places to find ways to help us get out of this mess include Infowars.com. Check the latest on internet censorship. Better figure out what it is and how we can stop it before we lose our beloved internets, or at least the internets we got now. And the free one, and I mean free in the sense of us being able to use it the way we want. So Infowars.com is a great place to do that, and find out a hell of a lot more, and pass it on to your friends, and get DVDs and T-shirts to rep your colors, your truth colors at this time in history. Naturalnews.com, awesome health website. Go there to share more truth on a variety of issues, because everybody wants to get healthy today. Well, we know we're all being sickened. And TrendsResearch.com, great place for Gerald Celente's work on upcoming financial trends and socialization and cultural trends. VigilantCitizen.com, great place to break bread and talk with just about anybody, because it shows how our culture is controlled by the Illuminati, or at least Satan worshippers, because they put their crap all over music videos and reinforce their messages everywhere and so on. It is what it is, and it's something that we can talk about and expose. And by doing so, we can immunize ourselves against the toxic effects of our culture. Keep in mind, I play a ton of commercial hip-hop to make a point on this show. I love my filthy, filthy rap music. But I got other things in my mind that I gotta attend to, on behalf of myself and my family and my friends and this city and this country and this world. And so, as long as that's the pull, then the balls and the energy and the grind and the aggression of some of this music, as well as some of the nifty, interesting messages, are great. You know, I learned the most important thing I ever learned from, rapper Young Jeezy's remake of Tupac's, My Ambition as a Hustler, or Ambition as a Hustler, where he says, just know I'm sane enough to let you play with my sanity. Gives a F what you think of me, unless you're feeding my family. And so unless you're trying to feed my family by fighting the New World Order that's trying to stop us all from eating, really? I got no time for you. I got no use for you. It's whatever. Like, what are you going to say to me? What are you going to say to me that I got to listen to? And it's nothing personal. I'm suggesting you take this attitude too. You know, if people aren't helping you with this, don't attack them, but don't let them attack you. So, VigilantCitizen.com, great website out there for more information, and tons of great ones. FluorideAlert.org for fluoride, obviously, and what we can do about that. And there's websites on aspartame. There's VRAN.org for vaccine exemption forums and the risks on vaccines, and a ton of more websites on that. Work with people like Jenny McCarthy and Jim Carrey if you want to go celebrity with it. And if you're a guy out there and you got a kid, look into it. Don't just say, oh, yeah, I only vaccinate a little bit. You only give your kid a little bit of Drano to drink? Look into it. Because if you don't, then, you know, it's not just about you anymore. It's about your kid. Locally, great groups like PressFORTruth.ca are putting on for their city. You can see the film The Nation's Deathbed there, as mentioned earlier, as well as the new film United We Fall, directed by Brian Law and Dan Dix from PressForTruth.ca. I interviewed Brian Law and Dan Dix as well. We had a fascinating interview where we discussed all sorts of things, and we killed it, or at least we beat the hell out of the ideas of globalization and the G20 quote-unquote security, you know, and martial law that were foisted on the city of Toronto. And so definitely look into that. You can check out henrymakow.com for great work of Henry Mako and others on our socialization, on cultural trends, on financial implications, and much, much more, as there's a wonderful, carefully selected potpourri at henrymakow.com. Conspiracyculture.com, great book and DVD store at Queen and Roncesvalles, run by the lovely Patrick and his lovely wife Kadena. Hard to tell who's lovelier. I think Kadena's got a slight edge, but you know, when there's that much loveliness, it's kind of blinding. And they've got a great little book and DVD and more store there, where you can cop some stuff, and you can cop a little burner, and you can make some copies, and you can pass them out, and you can just leave them with people, and you can just say, look, man, at this time in history, I have to do this, and other people have to as well. So just take it and do what thou wilt. But the point is that we have to get this info out. Otherwise, misinfo is going to confuse us into accepting a ton of more evil crap, and far more than we should and that we'll be able to stand. So that TorontoTruthSeekers.com. Mark Jr., Kathy, you know, shout outs to everybody out there. Tom, just everybody, you know, putting it on. You know, Nada, and everyone who's made flyers. Yuri, Brad, you know, everyone that's put in a ton of work for this city, and had a great time doing it. I know these people. I know once you know what's going on, you're never happier than when you're doing something about it, because it's the only empowering response to the truth as you know it, as it sits there worming its way into the back of your brain, and as you try to be chilling in the middle of a war zone the rest of the time. And if you do want to be chilling in the middle of a war zone the rest of the time, if you do want to avoid agitated fights with people that are not in a particular mind state or mood to deal with this, then do something about it. And then when you're hanging with them, don't. And feel perfectly at ease with the person you are and with your value at this time in history. And as they see you move like that, they will respect you. So, tons of great places. The Agora.ca, Agora Cosmopolitan newspaper, another great place. Tons of great news across Canada. Wayne Pronte's falseflagflu.com, which he started during the H1N1 pandemic. Great place to figure out more about vaccines and about the history of that, because we are being hit by crisis after crisis on a daily basis, attacking every, you know, segment of society, destabilizing us, threatening, you know, different groups of people, and getting us to, you know, fight for more for our group, and possibly at the expense of other groups. And again, that's just part of divide and conquer, and this is just going to keep getting worse unless we expose the big picture. There's a unified threat theory the New World Order uses to control us, where they say if we have unified threats like global warming and climate change to threaten the whole world, we can get the whole world behind a global government. If we have unified threats that unify people like, you know, countries like Saddam, the most scary man in the world, and Iraq, the scariest country in the world. So the U.S. military, as Chris Rock said, went in and took it over in 3 weeks. Just absolute nonsense. But by selling that unified threat, they unified America against Iraq. You know, at least, you know, they didn't quite. I mean, there's a ton of people protesting. 10 million before the war worldwide. So believe me, we're hip to this. You know, but we just got to get hit more consistently and in different ways. So the point is that they try to unify the country, and we can unify people against a global threat from the New World Order. That's the best thing to do at this time in history. So let's figure that out, because it cuts through everything else. It's been a great 21st of July 2010. It looks like a beautiful day here in the T-Dot. Hope you're enjoying yourself wherever you are listening to this worldwide. You are listening to CKLN Radio. Do not forget that, and do not forget who you are and what you can do with who you are today for tomorrow. Peace out, everybody. Jazz is coming up next.